Parshas Korach. As you mentioned before, some of you, that it is a very disappointing parasha. And in fact, we do expect a lot more from Korach. Korach brought down was a pikeach, marol shtozeh. And you see, kina, taiva, and kovod, how you can take a person and completely knock them off balance. And this was parasha talks about it. Talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu's authority was proven by the fact that Korach was sucked into the ground. It shows that Aaron Kohen was chosen as the Kohen Gadol through the fact that 250 people who brought up Ketores got burnt. And according to most Mefarshim, the reason why we needed later on the Nes, the miracle that took place with the sticks. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kodesh Baruch to tell the Nesiim to each take, according to most Mefarshim, one stick, cut it up to 12 pieces and put it up into the Ohel Moed, and you'll see who is the proven Shevet. According to many Mefarshim, that test was to prove that Shevet Levi were the chosen Shevet. So we prove now that Moshe Rabbeinu was a leader, Aaron HaKohen was a Kohen Gadol, and Shevet Levi were the Shevet. But I discussed a few years back that it's likely, and it's brought down, and there's plenty of other Mefarshim who seem to say the same thing, that what we find later on the parasha, Perek Yudzayin, that talks about the Matos, is not necessarily proving anything for that generation alone. It is proving and showing us what Machlekas can do, how bad Machlekas can be. When it enters an argument, you never know where it's going to end. How wonderful it is to seek out Shalom, and how important it is that sometimes for a person to sacrifice his own ego for the common good. So I just want to go very, very quickly through various of the ideas we had. I think we gave the shiur 4 years ago, and build on that particular theme with new ideas this year. So in the parasha Perek Yudzayin, Posuk Tes Zayin, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar. Okay, Hashem says Moshe, Dabe al Bnei Yisrael, Tol Klal Yisrael, V'kach me ito mate lebeis av, me'es kol nesi ehen lebeis avoysom. You should take a stick for each one of the Nesiim, Shnei Masam Matos, 12 sticks, Ish es shmoi tichtoiv al mateyu. Each person should write the name on that particular stick. Ve'es shem Aaron tichtoiv al mate levi, and for Aaron his name should be written on behalf of mate levi, because one is to represent his base av. And it shall be the man that I will choose, his mahistic yifroch will blossom. And the pasuk says, Moshe gave over the message, and each nasi did exactly that. And it put the matter into the oil moyed. Vayim amachros, pasuk gimel, came the next day. Vayavah Moshe oil moyed, vayoil ha'edus. Moshe came to the oil ha'edus. Vehinei porach mate Aaron lebeis Levi. And the perach, in other words, it blossomed the mate Aaron to the beis Levi. Says a pasuk, vayoytzei perach, a flower went out. Vayoses tits, and it gave out a small. It Rashi says it's like after the blossom, you can see really the fruit is a bit visible. Vayigmol shkedim, and it gave off shkedim, it gave off almonds. Vayyitz Moshe kol matot b'nei Hashem kol b'nei Yisrael. He took all the sticks out. Vayiru vayikhu ishmatot. Each one took their stick back. Okay, so there's various different understandings over here. Firstly, why is it necessary? Besides the explanation we said beforehand, that it's necessary to show that which tribe was a chosen tribe. Why was it necessary to have this additional test to show who was really the ruling party over here in Klal Yisrael? Secondly, what idea is it that we have dafka, we have almonds? Why is it almonds are the ones that grew? If a Kodesh Baruch Hu was interested in showing a miracle to show, to establish who was the tribe, who was the Shevet, as we know, you know the song by kids all sing it, Hashkedi Yaporacha. We all know by Tu B'Shvat, it's an Israeli folk song. Yeah, that the almond tree has blossomed. Tu B'Shvat Igi Yachag Le'ilanot. Yeah, it's the first tree that blossoms is an almond tree. Hashkedi Yaporacha, the first is an almond tree. If the first trees are almond tree, which means it's the first to blossom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show through a miracle that this is going to blossom, it would perhaps be better to bring a tree that blossoms the last. Maybe a carob tree. I don't know if it blossoms the last, but why bring an almond tree that blossoms first? If we're into Nisim, show a nace that is even a greater nace. Furthermore, within a pasuk itself, it seems a repetition. It says, "Vehine parach mata arne beis Levi," and it blossomed the mata arne beis Levi. And then it says again, "Vayotze perach vayotze tzivim goshkedim." It gave out a blossom, and it started to show its fruit, and it gave out shkedim. Why is this a repetition? And lastly, why is it that Klal Yisrael, who were ultimately proven that they were not the winners here, that they were not the champions, they were not the winners, yeah, they each took back their stick back home. What was the advantage of them taking the stick back home? You know, once had a Talmud in the yeshiva, not here, somewhere else, that was a defeatist. Yeah, he's a defeatist. He had on his wall all the exams in yeshiva. He had on his wall all the exams that he failed. Yeah, he enjoyed the fact that he's a loser. And that was his, you know, redeeming fact he was a loser. In fact, he was if I remember correctly, a Manchester City supporter until they started being successful and he switched teams. Yeah, but that is a person who is a very unique individual. He was dealing with a Nossi. Nisim, yeah, they were winning in Klal Yisrael, yeah. If they win, and it's a trophy of their win, which Shevet Levi obviously had, I can understand. But here they lost, and they were not chosen. What point was it to bring back their sticks home? And to show that, you know, leave it there, put it in the closest bin. You know, don't bring it back home, it's embarrassing. Yeah, they're not defeatists. What's the idea behind that?
It's a silver medal. So
sorry?
Maybe they didn't have the gold medal, it's a silver medal, so you still bring it home.
There was no silver medal here. There was no silver or gold medal here. Either you win or you lose. Yeah? You know, you don't bring back your, you know, you're delighted about a ticket that you did not win in the lottery. That you almost won. If you didn't win, it doesn't help you. So why is this bringing back the matter back home? Okay, so we discuss like this, that there are various different unique factors in what happened over here. Let's start with Reb Leib Chassman says an amazing thing. Reb Leib Chassman says that here it teaches us a very important lesson of not taking something for granted. Yeah, he says we have here a dry stick, and that dry stick overnight blossoms, and we're all amazed, we're all taken aback by the fact that this dry stick has the ability to blossom, and we see and we all declare that, oh, must be that Aaron HaKohen and his shevet are the winners. Why? Because it's a nace. Why else should that happen? Says Reb Leib Chassman, this miracle is no less or no more than a miracle that surrounds us on a daily basis. You go through the winter, and you go past a vineyard where there's nothing there. If you go past a vineyard in the winter, it's a bunch of dry sticks. It looks. It's nothing. It's not like a big tree. It is very depressing. There's nothing really there. You go a few months later, go around now, and it's blossoming. Yeah, and you've got grapes, small grapes growing on it. It comes in a month's time. They're huge grapes on it. Yeah, and this is an incredible nace. Trees giving off lush fruits, delicious fruits. What from? From a seed that was planted with a bit of oxygen, and they grow within the soil. What is that? An incredible miracle. And he said the fact that it was a miracle there, and we all recognize a miracle then, we should by no less go through the streets and see a fruit tree, we see flowers or grass or sun and all these amazing things. We should have no less appreciation of nature then. The fact that we don't is because we take things for granted. Ad kan divrei Reb Leib Chassman. So all he says is, that is an incredible lesson that we have over here. Fine. So why wasn't this lesson put down in a regular time? Why is this after the Machlekus of Korach? Why is it after we have this, Korach is fighting against Moshe Rabbeinu and 250 people saying Kulam Kadoshim? Why is it over here, Dafka, that this lesson of the importance of nature is so critical, is so crucial? Why could it not be on a regular day, Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Kodesh Baruch Hu, take sticks and show the power of nature? What's the day behind that? So what I'd like to suggest is that most arguments, most fights begin through a lack of appreciation. A husband and wife, they get married, and Baruch Hashem, they have a wonderful chasna, and a family come, and is smiling, and there's beautiful photos and videos, and everyone's happy. And unfortunately, we see, on a very high statistic, that it ends up in disaster. And by a certain stage in time, there's a bitter divorce, and there's kids, there's a whole fight over the kids, who the kids go to, and you have the times, and you have the court cases. It's a disaster. What exactly happened that changed this? It wasn't for one day from the happiness to a disaster in most cases. It's usually a process that happens. I like to suggest that what happens over here is based on various different factors. Firstly, a lack of appreciation. A lack of appreciation means that a person gets into a marriage and they're used to certain things. And they believe that they deserve certain things. And they believe that unless they get it exactly the way they've been used to getting it till now, they're hard done by. They feel that magiali, I deserve it. The biggest problem with that is that one begins not to appreciate the spouse, one begins not to appreciate the worker that you're employing, one begins not to appreciate a friend, and one takes things for granted, and the things that you do, they do for you, you don't appreciate, and the things that they don't do for you, the only things you notice. Over here, what Kodesh Baruch wanted to do is to give them a very basic understanding that what you see as a basic natural phenomena, what you take for granted, is in fact a miracle. The fact that imagine a neighbor comes and cooks you a supper. Out of the blue, cooks you a supper, a delicious supper. Thank you very much, this is great, that's so kind of you. Your wife cooks you a supper, you do a bit more salt. Yeah, the neighbor comes and cleans the house for you. Yeah, oh, you know, no. What are the shoes doing on the floor? Where is appreciation? So therefore says the Torah that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them a basic understanding that as soon as a fight ended with Korach, just you should know that what you take for granted on a daily basis is actually an incredible source of inspiration for you for appreciation. Understand that lo magia lecha klum, you don't deserve anything. And everything that is done for you, appreciate it. You know, the wife comes home, the husband comes home from work, and the wife says, you know, take your shoes off. Yeah, you just clean the floor. Okay, he should take the shoes off. But you know what the guy's been through all day? He forgot. So some people baruch merachem ala oretz, and some people baruch merachem ala brios. Yeah? No way, appreciate what the person's done for you, that will cut out a lot of the aggravation, a lot of the fights. And that is the first idea of a basic concept of what you take for granted, don't take for granted, appreciate it. Appreciation will be something that will be a source to stop any strife in the family. And relationships in that case. Why almonds? Okay, we have a natural phenomenon. Why almonds? So I said a chiddush a few years back, and I said it to various different people, and they all like it. There's a Mishnah in Maestros. The Mishnah says in Maestros, in Perik Aleph, Mishnah Dalet, you can look it up. There's a din in Maisa. Yeah? When a person grows fruit in his field, or his orchard, he's mechuyev to give Maisa. But when does he give Maisa? Only when the fruit becomes edible. If he eats the fruit before it's edible, he's not obliged to give Maisa from it. If the fruit turns inedible, yeah, if it turns inedible later, then again, you've lost the opportunity to give Maisa. You only give Maisa from a fruit that is edible. Look at the Mishnah there, and it brings it various examples. So the Mishnah says over there, Hachayiv b'shkedim hamorim, those that are chayiv in shkedim hamorim, potter b'masukim, a potter from when it gets sweet. Now, what's going on over there? Very interesting. There are two different species of almonds. There's one species of almond that is actually eaten when it's very small. When it's small, it's edible. As it gets bigger, it gets very tart. It gets very bitter. And if you can't eat it anymore. Right? There's another species of almonds that you can only eat once it gets big. When it's very small, it's very dry and very untasty. So the Mishnah says, Hachayiv b'shkedim hamorim, the time that you chayiv to give maisa from the shkedim that are very bitter, i.e. when they're very small, in other words, the bitter almonds, you take take mice when they're very small, that's when they're edible. When they get bigger, they get very bitter. Right? So at that stage, when they're very small, you chayt give mice from the shkedim hamorim, from the bitter almonds, because at that stage it's still edible. Yeah? But at that very same stage, at that small stage of the almond, the masukim, the ones that are sweet almonds, i.e., those almonds that are only edible once they get big, they will be potter from maisa at that stage, because at that stage they're not edible. So the small almonds, the bitter almonds, are only edible when they're small. Therefore take maisa from them then. But the big almonds, yeah, the sweet almonds, are only edible when they're big, and therefore at the stage when they're very small, you don't give maisa. And the Mishnah carries on. Hachayv b'masukim potter b'morim. And at the stage when you take maisa from the big ones, i.e. they're grown to the full size, they're edible now, the sweet ones, at that stage you don't take maisa from the bitter ones, because at that stage, at that size, they're already inedible. That's what the Mishnah says. What's the idea behind that? So I wanted to say like this, that every machlekus begins with a sweetness. Every machlekus begins with a sweetness. Somebody offends you, so you react, and you show them. You put him in his place. But then, there's an action and a reaction, an action and a reaction, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So a fight begins very sweet. Yeah, I'll show him. I'm entitled to say what I think. You know, I don't have to keep it in me. And you get it off your chest. It starts off very sweet. But what happens later on is that something that turns on, that begins sweet, becomes later on, as it gets bigger and bigger, very, very bitter. And you don't realize how things snowball and how the fights develop, and it gets to a stage where it's a point of no return. And at that stage, there's crisis. There's divorce, there's breakup of all relationships. Terrible, terrible things happen. So the example that the Torah wants to give us of a shkedim, of an almond, is that by almond it's a unique fruit. That you have sometimes a very, very bitter thing at the beginning. It starts off, sorry, when it's small it's sweet. As it gets bigger and bigger, it turns nasty. It gets bitter. That is a machlekus. A machlekus begins very sweet, and it gets bitter as it gets bigger and bigger. On the other hand, there are some almonds that start off bitter, and you can't eat them. Once they're big, that is when they're sweet. What is that? That is sacrificing your ego and saying, I'm sorry. Apologizing. To apologize is sometimes very embarrassing. You're an idiot. I shouldn't have said it. You know, I lost my head. It's embarrassing. As a kid, I shouldn't have done that. Fine. At the beginning, it's very bitter. But as it gets bigger, it gets sweeter and sweeter. You start appreciating what you've done. And therefore, the Torah wants to represent over here a shkedim, an almond, which is a very unique fruit. I don't think there's any other fruits like that, that have two different kinds of species, where it begins bitter, it begins sweet and turns bitter, which is machlekus, and the same almonds, in a very slightly different species, it starts off bitter and turns sweet. Because that is what the Torah is representing to us, the concepts of machlekus, and the concepts of apologizing. Another, something we said on the past was also a very, very important point, is that the parasha says, in the pasuk it says, "Vayotzei perach, vayotzei tzitz, vayigmol shkedim." Yeah, a perach came out, a flower came out, and then it says, "Vehinei porach," it blossomed, and then it says, "Vayotzei perach, vayotzei tzitz, vayigmol shkedim," and it came into shkedim. Says Darsakenim, what happened over here was actually two things. Firstly, "Vehinei porach." Firstly, it gave off a blossom. Then what happens, in other words, they put it inside the oil moed, and there's a blossom. Next morning there's a blossom there. Fantastic. Carries on the posuk, and Moshe Rabbeinu took it out, and then it says, "Vayotzei perach vayotzei tziz v'yigmol shkedim." A new fruit came out, a new blossom came out, and that blossom in front of Klal Yisrael, according to some of Farshim, actually in front of their eyes, you saw a process of how shkedim happened. You saw a process of the blossom turning into the fruit in front of their eyes. Says the Daskenim, what happened was afterwards, Akosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to put it in the mishmeres. Keep that the way it is. Says the Das Kanim, that flower in the Mishmeres, in other words, it was guarded, it was kept as a remembrance of what Machlekes is all about. That flower that originally blossomed during the night stayed a flower. That remained a flower. Okay? The other one that turned into an almond remained as an almond. So in other words, a flower turned into an almond. So we had in the Mishmeres a stick that had the original flower that flowered overnight and the almond the next day. So says the Das Kanim. Yeah, the Bala Tosef say this. And that's very much Pshat in the Pasuk. Vehine Parach Mata Aaron. And then it says, Vayetze Parach Gosses Vig Moshkelim, the second process. Fine. Nice Pshat. But what limud is there? What does that teach us? What does it teach us? Why is that important that Kodesh Baruch had to do that? So I want to say that this. This is Negea as well to the question we asked beforehand. The question we asked beforehand, why was it that Klal Yisrael took back their sticks when they in fact lost? They lost. So why take back your stick? They didn't win the competition. Why take back your stick? There are some people, it's an incredible phenomenon, and if as you get to know more people and you're more within the tzibur, yeah, you see this. There are some people who have an axe to grind. They love machlekes. They will tell you any machlekes that's going on anywhere, and if there isn't anything going on, they will be the ones that actually begin it. You know, there was a certain person that I had to do with, and he was irritating incredibly a certain few people who were involved in an institution. So these people went to Rabbi Zril Oyebach to ask Rabbi Zril his advice. What should you do with such a person? You know, maybe you should get rid of him, throw him out of the organization, throw him out of the institution, whatever. So he said, you've got to know that whenever Jews get together for Dovah Kodosh, there's always an element of Chelbana. Chelbana is a bitter smelling spice within Keturis. He said, you've got to have Chelbana inside Keturis. That's the way it is. You've got to have it. He said, if you get rid of this Chelbana, another Chelbana will come. And that's the way it is. You know, you can be a gabba and you can really mean well. Yeah. I don't give too many details. Somebody comes to me and he says, is it your principle to give aliyas to those people who are visitors rather than chiyuvim in the shul? Do you always, yeah, you know, is that what we like to do? To give people who are visitors rather than chiyuvim? So you knew I was in a lot of trouble. You know, I knew I was in a lot of trouble. This guy doesn't keep his cards too close to his chest. No, this guy. So I said, I really, really apologize. I'm very, very sorry. No, it isn't our principle, and we do obviously care for our chiyuvim. But just remind me, please, why you're chiyuv. I knew this person had both parents. Yeah, I knew he wasn't a chosen. I knew he wasn't bar mitzvah. Yeah, I knew he never had yahrzeit. All right. So I said, just remind me, please, why you're chiyuv. So he says, why am I chiyuv? It's my anniversary. I said, so first of all, you got Mazel Tov, it's fantastic. Ah, Baruch Hashem, and how many years is your lucky wife married to you for? Yeah? 17. Ah, very, very fantastic. What a lucky woman to have found you. I didn't say that, but okay. So I said, Mazel Tov, 120, Baruch Hashem, and Gesund und Stark. But, you know, just tell me, and I've looked around in the Nesekadim and the Shulchan Aruch, where exactly is there a Chiyuv? For chiyuv for an anniversary, but I haven't found that chiyuv. But apart from that, if you would have told me, I would have been grateful. You would have told me that you have an anniversary. So we've got to be grateful. I would have given you an aliyah for sure. If that's what means so much to you, with greatest of pleasure. You should have known. You should have known. I should have known it's his anniversary. I should have known that he holds anniversaries as a chiyuv, and therefore I should not have given, you know, Yankel Beryl's father-in-law who came from America and needs a bench going on. I should have known. Okay, there are people like that. There are people like that out making machlekes. So there's two ways of dealing with them. Either you take them by the scruff of the neck and throw them down the stairs, or you apologize and try and appease them and keep going. But you know, the amount you're getting paid being a gabber in shul, you know, you want to keep your job, right? So there's certain times where you're right and you're dealing here with opposition, you're dealing here with strong opposition, you've got to keep calm. One way of doing it is just posh at saying, I'm very sorry. Yeah, I'm very sorry, I apologise. Really, please try next, tell me. You don't have to make yourself into a doormat, but okay, to an extent. Or you can say, well, you're crazy, you're a sugar bestie, you know, go drive yourself somebody else crazy. But there's a certain element of stepping aside, putting it, not being the big knacker, not being the big winner, and you win by being the nice guy. Even though somebody's not nice to you, you win. There were two things on this stick. There was a flower on this stick. There was a flower on this stick. And there was also a second stage of where the flower developed into a fruit. And they both went to the Mishmera, so both got kept. What was the idea behind that message? The message is that sometimes a person turns into a flower. A flower means he is right. And you are right sometimes. No doubt about it. And not every time when you have an argument you're wrong. Usually it's your wife you are. Yeah, but not always, not every time you have an argument you're wrong. But there's two ways of dealing with it. One way of dealing with it is showing that you're right. Remaining a flower. I am right. Finished. The other person is wrong. I am remaining in my beauty, in my glory. I'm remaining the flower. And that's fine, to an extent. But does anything really develop out of that? Do you grow through that? Do you grow by showing that you're right? Do you grow by working on yourself and making sure that from this, you know, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me a message that I shouldn't be a Baal Gaiva. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to give me to look out more for people. Who knows? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending me a message. So on one hand, there's a flower, and that flower remains. I am correct. That flower remains, and that is in the Mishmeres. On the other hand, if you're willing to allow your flower to drop off, and you apologize, I'm very sorry, you know, I'd love to help you, you know, I should do more. In certain situations, then that what's going to happen over there, that flower can turn into a fruit. And that flower in front of the eyes, for one moment didn't look that great, the flower dropped off, and there wasn't any almond there yet. But if you're willing to allow your glory and glamour to drop for a moment, then ultimately actual fruits will grow from it. So you have two alternatives. One being Mr. Right, and one being Mr. Fruitful. And that is why both of them are put in the Mishmeres. Both of them put, you want to be a flower, but anything's going to come out of this. So you'll be a gabba, and you'll be right. And you told him where to get off, you'll be right. But are you uniting the community through this? Are you building relationships up with this person? This is the lesson over here of the flower and the shkedim on the same one to keep that. What's Peshat now? That Klal Yisrael took back their stick back home. They lost. They weren't successful. So what point was it to take it back home? So I saw a very nice spot from the Shein the Chassidish Rebbes. And they say that they took it back home to show their kids that sometimes when you lose, if it's done for the public gain, you're winning. When I, this case with the sticks, we have to show who is the Maisa, who ultimately is the tribe that Kodesh Baruch Hu chose to be the tribe that is for Klal Yisrael. Who is that? Does it have to be me? That is immature. I don't have to be the hero every time. I don't have to be the one that takes all the limelight. It doesn't have to be me. As long as it's seen that who is the winner is Aaron HaKohen, and I was able to fulfill my duty by showing who is the winner by that, I am quite happy to step aside for the sake of the common good and say, you're right. I'm happy to take back my stick and say, look what I did, my children. Look what I did, my tribe. I put my stick over here to prove a point for all our sakes. And our sake is to prove that Aaron was a winner. I wasn't a winner. It's not about me. It's not about my ego. It's not about my pride. It's not about me being the winner and shining. It's about caring for the community, caring for my family. If a person thought about that, it doesn't have to be themselves. It doesn't have to think about who I am. Am I winning? What do I look like now? But it means I am willing to sacrifice sometimes my efforts and sometimes my cupboard for the sake of the klal. How much better would society look? What people do nebuch to their own children after divorce, it's bad enough that parents separate, and it's very painful for the parents, I'm sure. They feel it's a waste of energy. It's terrible. But what they do to the poor children when they make fights over the jurisdiction over their children. Who should take the custody over their children? And they have bitter fights, and when the child is by daddy, yeah, he badmouths mummy, and mummy badmouths daddy. Look at your poor child. You're taking a child and sacrificing him for your own ego. Each one of you, grow up. You can sometimes say, mummy's such a good mummy. Why? For the sake of the common good, for the sake of giving a child what the child needs, a mother and a father. And that's what the parasha is saying over here. It showed the maturity. It showed a wisdom of the Nesi'im to take back their stick back to the tribe and say, you know what? I wasn't the hero here. I was not the winner over here. But I won by the fact that I was willing to contribute to show who the winner was. Because I care more about the society and the ultimate good than me being the winner over here. With an argument that if it's best to back down, if it's best to be quiet, if it's best for the sake of the institution, if it's best for the sake of the marriage, if it's best for the sake of the friendship, to back down and say, you know what, okay, you know, I'll compromise. You're right. In a situation where that's what's necessary, then you're the winner by moving back and saying, this is what's important to do, I will back down. Rav Chashach always used to say, Na hayisi gam zakanti, I'm an old man. I've never seen somebody who was mavater, who was compromised and lost out. Compromised meaning in good things. Okay? For good things. That's a very nice vault. I just want to finish off with two very, very quick vaults as well. Rav Moshe Sternbuch says that what was the idea over here of having this stick that blossomed? What's the concept over here of having a stick that blossomed? And this, Rabbi Yisrael, I think is very relevant to today's machlekus and today what's going ripping through the Israeli society. Rav Moshe Sternbuch and Talmud Das. He says, a beautiful thought. He says, one of the principal conflicts, Korach had, was something that was expressed by Nadav HaNavi. Nadav HaNavi says, brought in Medrash, they said, when Moshe Rabbeinu, those oldies, move on and the young guard will take over. That's what they said. Now, you're not dealing here with Katla Kanye. You're not dealing here with small people. We're dealing here with very, very, very great people. Right. And how can it possibly say, yeah, when Moshe Aaron move on and we'll take over? What, they're power hungry? What's the idea? What's the concept behind that? Why should they want to do that? So they said one of Korach's ways of bringing Klal Yisrael together was a fact that Korach says Moshe and Aaron have passed it. The great Tamil Chachamim, I'm not arguing, you know, he's a Novi, yeah. But we need somebody who's more in touch with the congregation. You've got to have somebody who is has a sprach, a way of speaking to the congregation. Yeah? You know, lack of a better word, we need a backslapper. Guy comes along, you know, he's able to, you know, to wheel and deal through his community, and he's able to, you know, speak the language. To have this rabbi sitting in front there who's a tremendous Talmud Chacham and a Gadol B'Torah, that's not what we're looking for. That's not what we need. Again, I'm not talking about Talmud Chacham doesn't understand his community. That we talked about previous week. He needs to understand. And each generation has its own needs. So what happened over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell the Nesi'im in his great show to take a stick that has nothing on it, a dry stick, and put it in the Ohel Moed. And just being in the Ohel Moed, it is able to flourish, is able to blossom, is able to grow fruit, to show us the power of being with greatness. Associating oneself with greatness is an ability to make something flourish. You don't have to speak. You don't have to, speak the language. You don't have to necessarily go down to their level. Merely by being in the company of greatness, it rubs off and it makes an incredible impact on a dry stick. Having Moshe and Aaron leading Klal Yisrael, great, great people, just by them merely being around, that makes an incredible impact on the Klal. And therefore, don't fight against Moshe and Aaron. So he said, this is a Musa Haskel on the people who say, you know, this rabbi has passed it. Again, if a person, Rachman Litzlan, the Rav, is Lebuch losing his mind, and the Rav, you know, he has got a language barrier, they mamish can't speak, that's already a different story. But when a Rav is a Talmud Chacham, and all these years, and he doesn't dress, you know, he's still dressing a little bit from the 80s, and he's still not using the expression, doesn't know, you know, he doesn't do emails. Yeah, so you've got to throw him out for a new, more savvy-looking rabbi. because he relates to the people more. That is a mistake. That is a toss. That is not Yiddishkeit. That may be in politics, but it's not in Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit, by merely being amongst a great person, a dry stick can blossom. Today we have Machlekes ripping through Klal Yisrael. Ripping through Klal Yisrael. Whether it is from the Charedim against the Chilonim, whether it's in the within the Datiim, the Datilumi with the Frum people, whether it's the Frum people within themselves, the Datilumi with themselves, it's going through. And the only way, we cannot take this, we cannot bring down the levels of Machlekes with Askonim. Yeah, there's people who, the wheeler dealer, the people who are lobbyists. That is not what's going to take the Machlekes. The Machlekes is going to be done through the Gedolei Torah. They can be done through the Gedolei Torah. They have the Sefer Dishmaya, they have the Masorah, they have the ability to untangle us from this incredible mess that we're in right now. And only they can do it. Just one last vote. In the next psukim it says, V'yema Hashem el Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Hoshev es mate Aaron, take mat Aaron lefnei ha'edus mishmeres, put it in the mishmeres. Lo'ois levnei Mary. Yeah, take it as a mishmeres. In other words, there were a few things hidden in the Aaron. One of them was this stick. Who did Akadosh Baruch Hu say take the stick to? He said, he's told Moshe to take the stick of Aaron. Yeah? What else was inside the Aaron as a mishmeres?
The mon.
Correct, the mon. Who did Akadosh Baruch Hu by the mon say put the mon?
Moshe told Aaron.
Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, good, Benjamin. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, kach tzintzenes achas v'ten shomam loy oimer. Take a little jar and put it in. In other words, when it came to Mon, Moshe told Aaron to do it, and when it came to the stick, yeah, Moshe did it. What's the difference? Why is that the case? So the Znaim Torah says that what was Mon? Who was Mon's chusov? Mon came down in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And if Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who brought down the Mon, yeah, it would not be correct and not be fitting for him to be the one who stores the Mon for generations' time and should all know how great I am. Now, it's not befitting, it's Gaiva, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu's not into that. So he says, Aaron, take it to the tennis and you do it. It has to be done, so you do it. In this case over here, what was the main, most important focus of this matter? To show that Aaron was right. For Aaron to say, you see boys, I'm right. It was not befitting for Aaron to be the mishmeres and say, rub it in people's nose and say, I'm right. If he's right, he's right. But Moshe Rabbeinu should be the one who puts it as a mishmeres. There are a lot of fights. There are a lot of arguments. Some of them are Shem Shemayim, some of them aren't. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from Machlekes. One should be able to appreciate, firstly, that we've mentioned beforehand, that don't lose focus of what one has. Don't take things for granted. Don't take family, friends for granted. Don't take children for granted. And appreciate what they do. That will cut down the Machlekes. Understand, like as an almond, which is a unique feature. An almond has the ability to start off sweet and turns bitter. That's Machlekes. It starts off sweet and turns bitter. On the other hand, it has ability to ask forgiveness, starts off bitter and turns sweet. The almond, as we discussed beforehand as well, well, sometimes you have a flower and you remain a flower. You remain right, you can be right, but nothing ultimately will actually blossom from that. You want a fruit to grow, you've got to let down your guard. You've got to be able to be the one who's willing to be mevater. And for the common good, for the common sake of what's necessary, you don't have to always be the winner. To be the one who's willing to compromise, that itself is winning within itself. And we discussed as well that even if you do win, you don't have to rub it in people's faces. And Be'ez Hashem, we shall have the Siyat Yishmaya to know what is right and what's wrong. And if you don't know what's right, to go to the Gedolim. We don't know what's going on ourselves. It's very, very difficult times now. And the only guidance we have in Baruch Hashem, we have an incredible clarity, can be done through the Gedolim. And Be'ez Hashem, we shall all give Siyat Yishmaya. Ve'oysu shalom b'rimoymov, ve'yasu shalom aleinu, al kol Yisrael. Amen.